CataractCoach.com podcast series, episode number 137, with Dr. Tiziano Giobellina, creating an amazing congress, the Oftalmo Cordoba meeting in Argentina. Welcome back to our Cataract Coach podcast. And today, I have a very special guest, my dear friend, Dr. Tiziano Giobellina. How did I do on the pronunciation?
Yeah, very nice. Very good. Tiziano Giobellina.
So you don't do like the strict Italian pronunciation. You do kind of a hybrid Argentinian Italian pronunciation.
Yeah. You know that my grandfather was born in Italy.
Okay.
Near Turin, at the north of Italy. And that's why my name is Tiziano, because my grandfather was born there and my father wants me to have that name.
Yeah, but your brother has it easy. Andres is much easier.
Yeah, it's much easier. Better for him.
So tell us all about, I had a great time with you at an amazing meeting that you organized called Oftalmo Cordoba in Cordoba, Argentina. And it was a really great meeting. And this is from someone like me, who I do 20 countries a year for meetings.
Oh, yeah. For me, it's a great pleasure to hear that from you, Dan. You know, you were here about three days ago.
Yeah. Right.
We were eating a steak in the hotel three days ago. We have a very nice meeting. Thank you for being here. We organized two symposiums of the Best of Cataract Coach that were full house. Lot of young ophthalmologists there. We have a very good time with you. Was a great time with you. And how do you feel here?
I really enjoyed the meeting. They had a great energy to it. And what I couldn't believe is this meeting, which is the eighth year you've done it in a row now,
yeah,
is now 800 people participated.
800 wow. People, yeah.
That's yeah, it. You know, grown.
You know that we started Oftalmo Cordoba, the history of Oftalmo Cordoba is a little bit crazy, you know, because... You have been here in Cordoba. In Cordoba, we have a lot of hills, you know, here near the city is a lot of hills. And here, the sport, there is a sport that is very popular here that is trail running, you know. Trail running is to run in the hills. And I practiced that. So I went to a race with my wife, do about, I think, 42 kilometers in the hills, a long race, a very long race. And when I came back to my house, I have an inguinal hernia, you know?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I have an inguinal hernia and I have a surgery, an emergency surgery that night because it was very big, you know? So I have the surgery and the day past the surgery, I have a complication, a very bad complication, and I have to be at bed for 25 days.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. 25 days laying in my bed without even walk. I can't walk. So, you know, we are doctors and we like working and we like moving. I love sports. And imagine if you have to be 25 days in a bed. What would you do?
I would go crazy.
Yes, me too. I was with very bad humor, you know. Even my wife did not enter to the room because I was very nervous. Yeah, very, very nervous. Nobody wants to enter my room. I was alone about 25 days, you know. And I start organizing a little meeting in my hospital, you know. We have three family hospitals here in Cordoba. And I start organizing at the bed because I was very bored. I start organizing a little meeting in my hospital. But as I was all the day bored and I was all the day with my computer there at the bed, it started growing, you know, growing and growing. And the small meeting became a congress, a little meeting, you know, that was the first edition of Oftalmo Cordoba. That edition, we have 100 delegates in the first season. Yeah. It was very nice, very, very nice. And when we finish, they start asking me, the next year, what is the date of the next day, the next year? And I don't even know if I am going to repeat the meeting, you know. And we repeat the meeting, and then we have the COVID era, you know. In the COVID, we do two meetings that were hybrid. We were virtual meetings. You know, we don't have people in the meeting. And we became very popular because it was a very nice meeting. And then we started, and then it started growing and growing. And now we have around 800 delegates in the meeting,
It's grown a lot. What I enjoyed with your meeting was there's a lot of great energy. There was a lot of enthusiasm. A lot of young Othmals participate. And to keep it easily accessible, I've understood that you don't charge anything to the delegates. It's free. Just come.
Yeah. You're okay. Yes, the meeting is free. It was always free. And we sponsor the meeting because of the companies, you know, the industry. Sure. We sell the stands, the booths for the industry, and we have money for them. But the doctors do not have to pay, and residents don't have to pay even. Yeah. We are like a special, like a club of friends, you know?
Right.
That's why the energy, the good energy.
Right. No, I really had a fantastic time. Plus, the way it was done was so professional. Like, the lighting was so good, the stage set up. You even had a photo booth to take photos for online stuff, for social media. And I also enjoyed, because I speak some Spanish, but not too well, I like that you had simultaneous translation, boom, the whole time.
Yes, only for you, because every people speak Spanish here, you know?
Yeah, but it was helpful to me.
Look my t-shirt.
So if you look, so the t-shirt is from I have one of those as well. So it says Cataract Coach. It has my logo on it. And the other side
in my head here.
I love it. And then on the other side it says Oftalmo Cordoba, which is your meeting, which is fantastic. I loved it. I love the t-shirt. I even had that coffee mug you gave me with the same logos. So beautiful. What you offered a lot though. Go ahead.
Tell people about your symposiums here at Oftalmo Cordoba.
Yeah, so we did fun symposium. We did two sessions. Each one was 90 minutes, and it was the best of Cataract Coach, where I show a tough case, oftentimes a mistake or complication, and then ask the panel, okay, what do you do? And then show the next step, and now what do you do? And what do you do? And the best part, obviously, of those meetings is not just the video that I show, but it's the discussion from the panel, from the experts
stage. Yeah,
because you have some of the most prominent, most experienced surgeons who are giving input, and it's often a little different. People do things a little differently, and that's probably the best learning.
Yes, for sure. Yes, you know that Cataract Coach is very popular here in Argentina. That's why a lot of people came to the meeting. You know, because they want to be with you, take photo. You were like a rock star, no?
And if I tell my children, they won't believe it. But yeah, I took a lot of selfies and I had a great time. I really love to meet the young ophthalmologists, especially because the young ones have such a great enthusiasm and they have the ability to learn faster than we did. Because when 20 years ago, 25 years, we're learning, it's hard to learn all these things. But now it's all in your mobile phone. You can see a new technique every single day. You can see 100 complications before they happen to you. So you say, oh, I know what to do here. I know how to manage. I remember that video. So they can really learn tremendously.
Yeah, it's another way of learning, you know. I think that Cataract Coach is very important for young ophthalmologists, also for not so young ophthalmologists too.
Right?
Because you have all the cataract surgery, you have it there. If you have a problem or if you have a interesting case or a difficult case, you want to, if you enter to Cataract Coach, you will have it there and you will learn how to manage that case. It's really incredible.
Yeah, for sure. I also enjoyed in your meeting, it was fast paced. Your meeting it kept moving, which I liked very much. And then you also even had live surgery sessions, which sometimes can be challenging to do. But tell me about the live surgery sessions.
Yes, we always have live surgeries in the meeting because, as I told you, the meeting is sponsored by the companies, and the companies want to show their IOLs. I'm going to show their products. So we do the live surgeries. It's a very important symposium that is in the live surgery. We call it premium live surgeries because we always do premium live surgery. This year we have six live surgeries of cataract, only cataract surgery. But 2 years ago, we do also retina surgeries, glaucoma surgeries, also LASIK surgeries. We do for 2 times. Me and my brother were the surgeons that were very nice. But I think that life surgeries, you can also learn in life surgeries, because in life surgery, you always invite very experienced surgeons. And
Right.
these surgeons, yes, they take their time to do the surgery slowly, and you can understand and you can see what other surgeons do. And we always learn about them. Huh? It's incredible what you can learn during the live surgeries. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that some of the live surgeons would slow down their cases and explain every step. Now here I'll do it like this, and they show you the little subtleties. Sometimes when they go fast, you miss the little small points. But I like that they
Yeah.
slowed it down. It was very useful.
Yes, this year we have very good surgeons. We have Gerardo Valvecchia from for Facco Extrema. We have Luis Escá from Facco Caribe. We have very good surgeons. We enjoy a lot, you know. You were there, you enjoy too.
I had a great
You
time.
were at
Yeah.
the panel.
For sure. And then even Neto Rossetelli, the Brasileiro, the Brazilian.
Also, Neto, that he have a very big YouTube channel too. He's
Yeah.
amazing. He's a friend of mine. He's a very good friend, and he's an incredible surgeon, you know. And he loves teaching, you know, as you. He loves teaching, and the young ophthalmologists notice that, and that's why people wants to talk with him. They email him. They send messages to him. They enter the YouTube channel because he inspired the young ophthalmologists as you.
For sure, for sure. I think it's a great meeting. I'm certainly looking forward to coming back. And if you're an ophthalmologist anywhere in the world, you can certainly attend the meeting. But especially if you're in Latin America and South America, boy, that's a great meeting. It's totally free. Just show up, register in advance. I highly encourage people to check it out.
You are going to come for 2027 for
That'll be your
the 10
10th
year.
anniversary.
Yes, the 10th anniversary. So you're invited. You're going to be our guest of honor.
Oh, you're very sweet. I would love to come. But this time, instead of just coming for 2 nights, I'll have to come for like 10 days and just enjoy a little bit too.
Yes. Because I think that you flew for 25 hours and you stay here for 30 hours. Something crazy, no?
Yeah, the same amount of time in the air versus in the meeting. But for me, with the crazy schedule I have, I just kind of have to keep it going. Because for me, this year is 23 countries, so it's a lot of work.
23 countries in 1 year.
This year.
Wow.
But
And next and next year and next year.
I don't know, maybe about the same probably. I'm enjoying it. I wouldn't do it if I didn't love it. I love to do it. It's fun to travel. And also, I'm very productive on an airplane. When I sit in that seat and I got my laptop open and like 10
Yeah.
hour flight, 11 hour flight, I can do a lot of work. I can really work. And there's no disturbances. I can't get
Yeah.
up. I can't play. I'm not doing anything on the internet. I'm not watching TV. I'm just focus.
You're focused on your work. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And you edit your videos at the planes too.
Yeah, I can do a lot of it. So I'll choose the videos, I'll edit them, I'll make the title slides. The only thing I cannot do is I cannot record the audio track on the plane. It's just too noisy.
Okay.
So I can't record the audio thing. But then I'll go to the hotel room. Especially if I'm jet lag, I'm not sleeping well, I'll record the audio tracks in the hotel room and then I'll just let the videos render overnight.
And I want to ask you a question. How did Cataract Coach start?
Oh, so I have a lot of videos online, even from before Cataract Coach. So if you look carefully on YouTube, I have videos that are almost 20 years old, recorded
Wow.
in low definition, not as nice. I didn't do a voiceover explaining everything. I just put some text on the screen over the video. But then at one point I decided, I like to watch surgical videos. It's how I learn. And the godfather of all surgical videos is, of course, Bobby Osher, the king.
Mortgage, yes.
That's how I learned. I learned 25 years ago by watching his videos, which were on, the VHS tapes. So I learned so much. So I just thought I learned by video. That's the best way for me to learn. I want to see it. And so the best, and I also know that I don't want to sit and watch an hour long of video. Show me fast. Five minutes,
Fast,
five.
yeah.
And
That's
so
a good
then
idea, yeah.
let me just do that and I'll put videos like that. And then I thought, well, maybe I should do one video a week. And then I said, no, I bet you if I worked hard enough, I could do one video a day. And that was 2,700 days ago. I still have not missed a day. Every day is a new video. For more than 8 years. Yeah.
Incredible. Consistency.
By the time I come to your meeting, will it finish the 10-year mark? In 2027.
So it'll be early. And now you're including retina videos on also, no?
So I have a sister channel called Retina Rounds, which is run by my colleague Pradeep Prasad, who's a retina specialist. Yeah. And he does only retina videos.
Wow.
So now we got, and the cataract coaches, you know, it's not just cataract. We do glaucoma, cornea, refractive, anything anterior segment is what we're covering there. Because in the modern day, these days, the most commonly performed glaucoma surgery is MIGS at the time of cataract surgery.
Yes, for sure.
Surgeon, you have to know MIGS. And if you're a cataract surgeon, well, by definition, you're also doing refractive surgery. You're doing lenticular refractive surgery. Maybe you can learn to get into also keratorefractive surgery as well, corneal refractive surgery. I think all kind of the same spectrum that we all should learn all of this, all the anterior segment and then posterior segment. The only thing I don't have is I don't have strabismus surgeries or orbitotomy oculoplastic surgeries.
Too long.
Not yet. Well, maybe. Or maybe I have to find someone to do it. The hard part is finding someone who's going to volunteer to make the videos. It's obviously it's a lot of work. But I think, again, your meeting is fantastic. I'll put a link down below in the description. If you're listening to the podcast or you're watching this video, down below there'll be a link for Oftalmo Cordoba. And I definitely encourage you to check it out. It is a fun, fun, fun meeting. Plus, in Argentina, boy, that is the best steak. It's very different than U.S.
Yes. You like the steak because we ate a steak in the hotel. The only night that you stayed there, we have to eat it quickly. with my friend Herman Bianchi.
He's a great guy as well. Great guy. But I like how collegial the meeting was, because even on the panels, everyone just kind of like good friends. Yeah. And they're all talking and they'll give each other a little bit of a hard time, which I like.
You know that when I started Oftalmo Cordoba, I was alone with my brother. But I was like the head of Oftalmo Cordoba because as I told you, I do the Oftalmo Cordoba in my bed. But then Noé Rivero joined me. Then Germán Bianchi joined me. Now then Hugo joined me. And now we are about 40 doctors working together. You know, we are a very big group. I am not alone. We are a very group, very big group of friends that we work all the year for the meeting. And that's good because we discuss about the meeting. Also, we discuss about our own clinics. We talk about our clinics, not only the meeting, no? Because we discuss about the meeting. Because here in Argentina, it's very typical that we have our own clinics. I don't know if in the United States it's the same. Because here we have, for example, in my case, I have my family clinic. So we have to discuss about how to manage people, how to manage doctors, and we have fun. We have a lot of fun.
Yeah, in the USA, it's changed quite a bit over the last few decades. It used to be the majority of ophthalmologists did a private practice, private clinics. Okay. And then now I think in the US, it's slightly less than half do private clinic, maybe 40% do, I do a private clinic. And then the remainder, 60%, will either do a big group, a big hospital, work for them as an employee, or maybe work for an academic medical center. But it's changed in the US.
And what's the difference between the private and not private in the United States? Is it difficult to be a private doctor, a private surgeon?
I think they each have their own challenges. But yeah, like, you know, you have to run a business also.
Yeah, yes.
You have to manage your employees. You have to manage. There's a lot of things going on that you have to run as well, not just be a good doctor. But if you're working for a big group, and you're just the employee that is a surgeon, a physician, you can just obviously do only patient care. Yeah. But I think I like to be my own boss. I like to do what I want to do. I like to take time and travel. If I'm going to do this, I need to have a schedule that I can change as much as I want.
Yes, me too. Yeah, you can manage your time. You can travel. You can have your hobbies, be with your family. It's different when you are the owner of the hospital. Here in Argentina, we have the private system and we have the public system. The public system is owned by the government. You know, the government have the public system that is free. People do not have to pay for cataract surgery. When I was a resident, I studied here in the National University of Cordoba Medicine, and then I traveled to Buenos Aires. I do my residency in the Santa Lucia Eye Hospital. That is a very, very big hospital, only eye hospital, very big.
Oh.
Yes, we have about 400 doctors working there. Very, 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 very huge hospital, yes. But people can go to that hospital for free. You know, if you have, if you want, if you don't have money and you have cataract, you go to that hospital and the cataract is for free.
So it must be a
And
great place to train because it's such great volume.
yes, for training is nice. In the emergency room, we have about in 24 hours. I was on Sundays. I work on Sundays for 5 years. And we have about 2,000 people coming to the emergency room. 2,000, one in 24 hours.
And this is just for ophthalmology. This is not like a heart attack. This is puros ojos.
Just on puros
Wow.
ojos. Yeah.
Wow. That's an amazing volume. I don't think there's a hospital, eye hospital, that big in the USA.
It's very, very big. Very, very, very big.
Yeah.
We about 12 residents per year, 5 years,
Oh,
about 70 residents in all the hospital, and about 300 doctors working there all the day. Yes, it's very big. It's very big. And that is the public system here in Argentina. It's for free because the government pay for the patients. Also, many people are coming from other countries near here, you know, Bolivia, Peru, Chile, Uruguay. They come to Argentina because here the medicine is free, you know, and they come here and they can be treated for free.
so
Now,
even people from other countries can be treated for free. Wow.
Also, in Argentina is something crazy for you too, because also here, for example, in Cordoba, here in my city, Cordoba is the university city of Argentina. We have a lot of universities here. We
Okay.
have big universities. Almost all the young people from Argentina came here to study, you know. For example, my university was free. I don't have to pay.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a
We
big difference. Well, in the US, boy, in the USA, nothing is free. Universities
Yeah,
are
I know
crazy
that.
expensive.
Yes,
Crazy
yeah.
expensive. And medical school also in the US. In the USA, I'd say your average private medical school will cost, if you include tuition plus living expenses, at least $90,000 per year, maybe even a
Wow.
little more. So it's crazy numbers. And that's for
Yeah.
4 years. So we have so many of our residents who they finish medical school and they have $300,000 in debt or more.
Wow. Now
So it's
here you have universities that are for free, and then you have the private ones, you know. We have a lot of private universities that you have to pay for sure. But the national university is free. It's different. It's very different, yeah.
Yeah, here,
Also,
even in California, the University of California, which is owned by the government,
yeah.
it's still going to cost you about half that much, at least. It'll still cost you $50,000, $60,000 per year to be part of it, even though it's owned
Wow.
by the government.
Yeah. It's very expensive. Very, very expensive.
Right. So yeah, in the US, unfortunately, then a lot of the young doctors are starting off kind of already in debt. They're starting not even starting at zero, they're starting off so much negative.
Oh, wow.
Which
Wow.
makes it a challenge, right? They borrowed money to attend medical school or even before that. Because in the US, we're doing after age 18, let's say, you do 4 years of bachelor's degree at university, then
Yeah.
4 years MD degree.
Yeah.
And then after that, residency for ophthalmology is 4 more years, and then fellowship, one or two more.
It's too long. Now the young people want to be TikTokers, YouTubers, you know, something fast. They earn money faster, you know. For example,
Yeah.
here the medical school, they are 6 years.
Okay.
Then the residency, 5 years more. So you have 11 years for being an ophthalmologist without the fellowship. If you are doing a fellowship almost 1 year more, you have 12 years without earning money, you know. It's too long.
Right. Yeah. So it is a long path, and it kind of makes you wonder how will this change in the future? Because one of the challenges is the young people have to learn everything that I learned 25 years ago, plus all the new stuff that was developed and we discovered in the last 20 years. You have to learn that also in the same amount of time.
And I don't know if you agree with me. Young doctors didn't even read books. They
Well,
don't like books.
you know what? But you know what? To be honest, I agree with you. But part of it is there are other ways that are learning that are better.
Different, a different way, yes.
It's a different way of learning, right?
Everything is changing too fast that we have to be open mind, you know. We have to be open mind for young doctors to learn because they I have residents, you know. I love teaching residents, cataract surgery, and I also teach LASIK surgery and cornea transplants. I love teaching. And now I think that the residents, when you are doing the surgery, they already see your videos or other videos, and they understood more easy the surgery than us.
Yes, for sure. For sure. And there's so much learning I can do. I can read about a posterior polar cataract and I can understand a little. But if you show me 10 videos, including the
That's all.
complications, I'll
That's
learn
all.
even faster, right?
And what
So
you see in a video is different than what you are reading, you know, because the visual is different when you are seeing a video, and the learning, I think, is more easy when you're seeing videos. So that's why I think you are so popular now.
yeah, I think, I mean, part of it too is you have residents who get great training, great training. You, when you were at Santa Lucia Hospital, you had great experiences, so much volume. But there are ophthalmology residents in other parts of the world who actually can do their whole residency and do very little surgery, some places even zero surgery. And so, I think, so one of the goals for cataract coaches, I want to equalize surgical education worldwide. So no matter where you are, I'll teach you all the secrets. I will hold nothing back. I'll tell you everything. Here's exactly how I do it. And therefore, even if you're in a place somewhere else on the planet where you don't have such great training, you can still learn on your own.
I agree with you. I
And
agree.
that's kind of where it goes. Now, what are the important lessons? So you obviously have a big impact because you train the young residents and the young fellows. But you teach them more than just surgery. You kind of give them life lessons also. What are some of those important life lessons? Like I would always tell my residents, I would say, one very important life lesson is every failure is still on the same path to success. It's okay.
We try to record all our surgeries, and when we
Right?
have problems or complications, we try to edit the complication, and we join all the residents and see what happened all together. That's a good way for us to learn, you know, because I think that when you have a complication, I think that is the moment, the more important moment that you are going to learn. If
Right.
it happens to you, sometimes doctors, when they have complications, they feel bad, and some doctors cry and don't want to continue
Right.
with the surgery. You know, you must be also like a psychologist with the young doctors,
Yeah.
because you need that these doctors trust you. You know, you want to be like a special friend from them
Right.
for the done. Because if you I know that years ago the professor was a person that even the doctors even do not talk with the doctor, with the professor, because they were shy, and the doctors were like very vertical, you know. But
Right.
now we must equalize with them. We must be the same that the residents. We have to talk with them. I even go for dinner, for lunch. I organize dinners with them, and we talk about life also. We talk about life, we talk about other things. You must have like a special friendship with your fellows and your residents,
Right.
because that's good for them, you know, because when they have complications, they trust you, and they they don't put shy with you, they talk with you. I think that is very important.
I think so too. It's different. You're right. In the old days, you would never even talk to the chairman. You don't even look at them. They're so far
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
They were like the Godfather. El Padrino.
Like gods. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, but now it's a lot more collegial. And I think faculty like you are so much more approachable. And so the young residents really can, I guess, get more out of the relationship, you know, bond with you better. You can teach them a whole lot more. But yeah, I think some of the important lessons, I think probably the most important one for young surgeons is that imagine your goal is to be good at tennis.
Yeah. Well,
if you play every day, you're not going to win every match. You may lose a few matches.
Yeah.
But even the match where you lost still made you a better player. So every loss is still on the same path to becoming the best tennis player you can be. So same with surgeries. We have to learn from the complications, and I'm so happy you're recording these with your residents and then reviewing them after.
Yes. I also think that in the COVID area, you know, when COVID starts, we started with the webinars, you remember. Every people organized webinars and webinars and webinars, and every people were at home, and people learned a lot in those days when we were at home. Here in Argentina, we cannot go to the road that was in your house, you know. We have to stay at home. We doctors, we can go out, but most people have to stay at home almost 1 year, you know. It was very long.
Wow.
And in those days, we have a lot of webinars. Every day, 4 or 5 webinars. And people learn a lot. They learn a lot. I think that after the COVID, a lot, not all the doctors can travel to AAO or ESCARS or ASCARS to learn. But with the COVID, with the webinars, a lot of people learn, and they equalize the learning with the old right. doctors, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I think even better, like I was saying at the meeting at Oftalmo Cordoba, the young doctors can learn in 1 year what took me 10 years to learn. You don't need to suffer. You don't need to suffer and have your own fake a wound burn. Let me show you a video. Let me teach you how you can detect this, how you can change your settings, what the problems are. And now you can never have to worry about it. Or when the capsule breaks, let me show you how to react. Then you know when it happens to you, do this, and you'll be fine.
That is great for young doctors. It's great. It's great. It's really great. I think that doctors love these YouTube channels because, we told you, they don't have to read so much because they don't like to read. And because they don't like to read. And they see videos and they learn a lot, It's great. It was a great idea, I think.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. It's been fun. I've actually learned so much by making the videos. Because people send me videos every week. I get 50 or 60 videos sent to me every week, which we then go through and I choose the best. Yeah, I choose the best one. But I get every day, I'm getting 6, 8 videos, sometimes 10 videos a day. So there are a lot of videos to go through.
Only you don't have a people that can manage that with you, that can help you?
I can, but the problem is I can't hire a non-ophthalmologist because they don't know what they're looking at.
Yeah.
If I get a professional video editor, but they don't know what capsular excisis is, they don't know what posterior capsule is, they don't know what zonulopathy is, well, how can you edit it?
Yeah. Maybe so it will be more work for you if you have the video edited because you will have to edit it another time or...
Right. It's easier for work. Me. Right, it's easy for me to just get on a long flight. On the flight down from LA going to Cordoba, I did 14 videos. I do 7 videos at a time. I do it 1 week at a time. So I did 14 videos on one flight.
So you work a lot.
Right, yeah. Then I can get them done in advance. And I try to get usually the next month already done and lined up in the queue. They'll post automatically.
Wow.
So it's a whole process, but it's fun. It's like I'm learning a lot and I'm enjoying it. I'm still doing it because I love it. And I think it's a valuable service and young people are certainly give great feedback. Now, I'd love to get some videos from your residents. All resident videos, we keep it anonymous. But if you have any good complications, tell them, send it in. We'll put it up on Cataract Coach.
Okay, we're going to send you some videos. We have a lot of videos. We're going to send you. We are going to make you work a lot.
I don't mind. Now, at your meeting in Ophthalmo Cordoba, do you also have like a separate resident section for it or resident contest?
Yeah. It's Ophthalmo Cordoba Joven, Ophthalmo Cordoba Young. Yeah. This year we have two meetings because, as you know, we have three rooms.
Yes.
The main stage, and then we have two more rooms. And in one room, it was Ophthalmo Cordoba Young. A lot of young doctors present their cases there. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic to get them an opportunity when they're so young and in the training.
Yeah, we also have something that I don't know if you know it. I don't know if I'll tell you, because you know that I know that in California you have a lot of fire. You know.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's the area in the world that have more fires.
There's California. A lot of fires. Yeah. Yes.
And here in Cordoba is the second zone in the world with more fires. First California, second Cordoba. We have the same. We have a good idea that every delegate that assists to Ophthalmo Cordoba, we plant a tree.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, for free. You know, we have the Ophthalmo Forest about 4 years ago. Yeah, it's Ophthalmo Forest.
What a great idea.
Yes, it's a good idea. We have planted more than 2,000 trees. Every what? April, yeah. Every April, we go to a place where we have all the trees and we plant the trees there. This April, we are going to we have to plant 800 trees.
For one for each delegate at the meeting.
Yeah.
What a great! That's such a great idea.
Yeah. Because here it is. The fire, you know what is fire? You know what I am talking because you live there.
The forest fires here. Yeah, the wildfires. Yeah. And, you know, what's interesting is the Los Angeles with the city and then surrounded by the mountains is very similar to Cordoba city and then all the mountains. So it was very, very similar.
That's why we have the same problem because here in summer it's very hot and it's very windy. So fire is very, very dangerous here. Every year we have a lot of fire. So we have this Ophthalmo Forest that we founded in about 4 years ago. We started. In April, we are going to plant the trees this year.
Well, that's a great idea. I'm looking forward to the 10th anniversary meeting. Obviously, you'll have one next year for the 9th in 2026. You'll do it again in 2027, which will be the 10th year anniversary, which will be great. But definitely got to plan more time to do some sightseeing, not just, you know, 48 hours on the ground or something. Got to do a little bit more than that. Now, tell me also here in your meeting, what did you do to grow it from 100 people to 800 people? How did it grow so big? How did you promote it? How did you get the word out?
Yeah, that's a good question. We think that Ophthalmo Cordoba is growing because our meeting is growing with friends. You know, we have a lot of friends, and we invite societies. We invite groups because you know that in ophthalmology we have the societies and also we have the private groups like Ophthalmo Cordoba, like Faco Caribe, like Faco Extrema, and we try to join each other so the meeting is growing. Also, I think it's very important the social media. You know, social media is very important nowadays. You know that. We have Insta, we have Facebook. We don't use too much Facebook. We try to focus on Insta. But yeah, I think, also, we have our YouTube channel. You can enter to our YouTube channel. There you have all the Ophthalmo Cordoba editions from the first to the number 8. Yes, we have a lot of videos there. All is in our YouTube channel. But I think that maybe because people feel good there in the meeting, we have social events, very good social events, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Every night we have a dinner every night, and people love coming. I don't know why.
It was a lot of fun. You had like a cocktail reception there. I was only there one night. There was a fun reception there. You get to meet all the young people. But even beyond that, then you had a band coming, playing Beatles music. I mean, it was a party. It was really great.
Yeah, it's like a party. Yeah. It's like a party. Yeah. As you said, it's like a party. And we try to work hard as you know, we try to be consistent to have a very consistent. We work a lot in all over the year. We work a lot. We work with the companies, with the industry. And it's very good for us because we stay in touch with the companies, you know, and we learn a lot with the companies. And I think that the most important thing are the speakers, you know, the speakers are the, because, for example, this year, you were here. We have a lot of very good speakers and we have 800 delegates. That right. was the, yes. I think that the speakers are the most important thing in Oftalmo Córdoba, you know?
Right. And the I also like, your speakers are great. You and also the meeting was on time.
Yeah,
sometimes
yeah.
The meetings and the meeting is always running late. You ran the whole meeting exactly on time, which is amazing.
We have 6 minutes. And if you talk more than 6 minutes, a red light is going to flash. You're going to be finished. Your presentation is going to be finished. Yeah, because we like that. Because if you go to a meeting and you want to go to the best of Catraco, that is going to be at 2 p.m. and right. you assist to the meeting at 2 p.m. and you are not there in the stage, it's not good.
Right. No, for sure. Yeah. You did a fantastic job with that. Now, one other thing I really enjoy in these meetings, especially in your meeting, was learning about new like IOL designs that I don't have in the USA.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You know that in Argentina we are very lucky because here in Argentina we have all the companies arrive here first, you know, because we don't have restrictions. Because our FDA is very light.
Oh,
yeah, it's very easy. It's very easy. So, for example, now I am using a new IOL from a company that is from Spain. And we start doing a work with them. And even in Spain, they don't have the IOL. And we have
Here.
Yeah.
I was really impressed. Like, even in the live surgery, it's like, wow, I haven't even heard of this lens. You had some new lenses. What was it? The intensity lens. I don't have that one. They're new design lenses that we just don't have in the U.S., Maybe the FDA is too strict.
Yeah, yeah. In the FDA is very strict, so you have BVD or also panoptics. But three light surgeries were from sponsored by Alcon, for example.
Right.
Alcon here is very big. In Argentina is very big. We use those IOLs a lot, but we can choose what we like. You know, we can choose because we have a lot of IOLs here. Yeah.
Right. So with that said, what are your favorite choices these days? What are you using? Or you use a little bit of everything?
No. I'm using, in trifocality, I am using panoptics.
Yeah.
Yes, for a long time. I don't like BVD too much. I don't like it too much. For monofocal IOLs, we use also Alcon IOLs, the IQ, Acrysoft IQ. Clarion now is Clarion. For EDOF, I am using the Medicontour, the Elon. From Medicontour.
Yeah, we don't have that in the US. Tell me a little about that lens. I don't know anything about it.
The lens is really great. You know that because you don't have halos. You have a very good far vision, and also intermediate vision. And if the patient is a little bit myopic, 0.5 for myopia, they also read, you know. An EDOF IOL, but you can also read and without the photopter. It's very nice. I love it. So, I started using this IOL about 6 months ago.
Okay.
And now I am using in every patient that is for an EDOF IOL, I'm using that IOL. Very good.
So it's probably maybe at least 1.5 diopters of range, maybe more?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe a little more. I think it's 1.75.
Wow, that's pretty good. So if you leave them a little myopic, they can have the equivalent of plus 225 reading, which is fantastic.
Yeah, J1 or J2, they can read. Yeah, it's very good. It's very good IOL. I used to use the Eyhance from J&J, but I like it. I still use it in some patients, but the intermediate and near vision is not so good, you know. It's not so good. That's why we prefer the real EDOF IOL. The Medicontour Elon is a real EDOF. It's not a monofocal plus. It's an EDOF IOL.
Right. Plus, the other thing that sometimes we have to take into account is pupil size.
Yeah.
So a lot of times these patients with these smaller pupils already, they're going to do great because they're going to already have a much wider depth of field or depth of focus.
Yeah.
They have small pupils to begin with. As opposed to one, we got patients with larger pupils, you just know they're going to have a very short depth of field.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yes. I think that the pupil, I think that all these kind of IOLs are dependent of the pupil, all the IOLs.
For sure. For sure, for sure. And you know, I think sometimes we make the mistake of not paying enough attention to the pupil size.
Yeah,
the pupil size is
me
pretty
too.
Important. Yeah, yeah.
Very
I had a patient come in recently who had surgery elsewhere with trifocal lenses, but she has 2 millimeter pupils all the time. So you're not even using the rings.
A pinhole. You know,
yeah, she naturally has small pupils. And then it doesn't matter. Whatever rings you have on the lens, you'll never even use them. You'll never see them.
Yeah. So I think that nowadays we have a lot of choices. You know, we have a lot. I think that all the IOLs are okay. I think that we have a very, very good area of IOLs because we can choose a lot of IOLs, but we have to choose the right IOL for each patient. You know, I think that maybe, I don't know if you are using Pentacam for choosing your IOLs, but I prefer to use Pentacam to use my IOL, to choose the IOLs. So I think the aberrometry of the cornea is very important also for choosing the IOLs. Yeah.
No, I think as we get more and more choices, the trouble becomes the paradox of choice. If you have 50 choices for IOLs, well, gosh, which one
it's difficult. Yes, it's difficult. It's difficult. That's why we choose only three.
Yeah.
We don't change a lot of times the IOL. We have three, the trifocal, EDOF, and monofocal. Also, I have the IQ from Alcon and the SA60.
Sure.
The spheric IOL. I use it a lot. For me, it's a very good IOL. But we choose for our patients, we choose those four IOLs. Yeah.
I think we're doing something very similar. It's just that I have more restrictions. I have fewer options for IOLs in the US. We're a little bit more restrictive in that regard. But I think certainly, I think more options are better.
You are using the 3D for surgery?
So it depends for what. So I have used like the Ingenuity system, 3D heads-up display for surgery. I use it for many years. But I now mostly just use the ocular, the microscope.
Mm-hmm.
But as you know now, with the robot company, you probably saw the video of me doing the robot surgery. That obviously is with 3D glasses and a 4K 3D monitor. But I think I'm actually happy to do either way. It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah. And how is the robot? What do you think about that?
I have my own biases. I'm obviously heavily involved with the company in both a consulting role as well as a advisory role and as an investor. But yeah. I think it was amazing. It was just, I think we have to give it a chance. You may be surprised at how good it can be.
Wow.
You may be surprised. Because there's certain things that, remember, we can't win as humans, like reaction time.
Yeah.
Or the robot can see as a real-time OCT. I can tell you exactly where the capsule's at any given time. Even when I did the robot surgery, I could make a groove in the nucleus and I look at the OCT and say, oh, that's 80% depth. I can see right here.
Wow.
You don't have to guess. You just tell as you're doing it live. Oh, let's do a little bit more. Okay, here, 80% depth. Or when they put the one patient on a smaller pupil, put the lens in the bag. Did it really go in the bag? Let's look at OCT. Yep, lens in the bag. You can tell.
And you're using the robot in all your cases?
No. We did a clinical trial about 2 weeks ago, and we did that outside the U.S.
Okay.
And so in the USA, it's not FDA approved. It's just purely investigational. It's just basically in development. But I think eventually we'll have all this here. Remember how many decades ago they told Charlie Kelman he was crazy for phaco?
Yeah. You know that in our hospital, we have Fento. We have the CMRZA Fento.
Okay.
And I love Fento Catra. I love Flax. I love it. Because for me, it's very the consistency in the capsulorhexis, in the incisions. Here in Argentina, I think that we have around 8 or 10 Fentos. There are not too much Fentos, but I love Fento. I think that the robot is going to replace the Fento.
I think so too. And you have 8 or 10 in our surgery center in Beverly Hills, the one surgery center, our private center. We have three femtos.
Three femtos in only one. Yeah, I love femto. I love femto. For doing flaps, I think is incredible.
For LASIK
is incredible. I do a lot of refractive surgeries. I do a lot of LASIKs. For the cost, for the patient cannot afford the femto, I do about 70% of my cases with microkeratin and only 30% with plaques. But in cataract, I do almost 50-50. 50 wow. Flaques and 50 manual. And for cutting the, I am a cornea surgeon.
Sure.
I was training in Italy with Professor Massimo Busin. I was there for my fellowship in cornea. And I love endothelium keratoplasty. You know, I am very fan of endothelium keratoplasty. Yeah. I love DSEC and DMEC. And I am focused almost in ultra thin DSEC.
Okay.
Ultra thin DSEC and nano thin DSEC. Nano thin DSEC, we cut tissues from less than 50 microns.
Wow.
With femto. 48, 49 microns. It's very, very thin. It's like a DMEC, you know, it's similar than a DMEC. For cornea, I think femto is another level, you know. I think that every cornea surgeon must have a femto. In cataract, we can discuss a lot in cataract if it is good or not. I love it. I love it for cataract too, but maybe we can discuss it. But I think that the robot maybe in some years is going to replace the femto. I'm sure of that.
Yeah, I think so too. Because you'll end up seeing, so for me, it's funny. Femto use is different. For my LASIK patients, I'm 100% femto for the flap.
100%. That's good.
Last time I used a microkeratin was maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I can't remember when I used it last.
Wow, so you're lucky. You're lucky because I don't like microkeratin, but I have to use it. You know that the noise of the microkeratin is not nice, you know?
Yeah.
When you are passing the microkeratin, it's not a good noise. With the femto, is very nice. I love femto for flap pads. But we have to use it because of the cost of the femto, you know?
The cost, it's a lot, obviously, per eye, it adds up, for sure. It's an additional cost, but to me, it's a better procedure, so I just only offer that. But you're right, yeah. For the young surgeons, if you don't know the microkeratomes, boy, in the old days, when you pass that microkeratome, you just hope that it comes back. You never know until it's done, and you can't see it as it happens.
Yeah, and sometimes you close your eyes, you pass the microkeratin, then you open your eyes and it's done, you know.
Yeah. it's a little nerve-wracking for sure.
But you know that when I was a resident, my mother bought the first LASIK machine in the hospital, you know. And we have only one surgeon that was a friend of my mother. And that surgeon do almost all the LASIK, but he was bored and he don't want to work. And he told me, you have to come here. I'm going to teach you and you are going to do all the LASIK. In 3 months, you are going to do all the LASIK. We have a high volume, around 200 per month, you know, 200 LASIK per month, 200, 250 per month. And I was resident of first year or second year. I was starting my second year. I was doing trauma surgeries, pterygium surgeries, and I was a LASIK surgeon, you know. I have to do it. I have no choice.
Right.
But I love it. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, good way of learning. I mean, certainly. It's interesting, though. My practice is a little bit different. Mine probably at least 90% IOL surgery, 10% keratorefractive.
Uh-huh.
So everyone's obviously a little bit different here. But no, I think it's neat. I think the same way that, look, if you look at, we're talking about robots. Look at keratorefractive surgery. Do you ever want to go back to radial keratotomy? Never.
Never, right? No.
But so now when you do trans PRK, what do? You step on a pedal? Even you do a femto LASIK, okay, they go under the femto, you make a flap, you go to the eczema, you lift the flap up, you do the ablation, put the flap down. What did you do? So no. I think with robots, we'll get the same way with cataract surgery.
Yeah. I agree with you. Yeah,
I think it's
how many years do you think that we are going to be doing surgeries with that robot? How many years?
It's hard to predict these things. Hopefully, within 5 years, maybe less, maybe more. Who knows?
So we are going. we are going to watch this video in some years, and we are going to notice if we were if your choice was okay.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll find out. But I think it's certainly coming, and it's just going to get better and better. Remember when iPhone 1 came, I thought, God, what a clunky thing. I was still using a BlackBerry. I said, I like my BlackBerry more than the iPhone 1. And now iPhone 17, that's like a different world. You just can't believe it. So I think this will go the same way. Or even look at Faker machines. Look at Kalman's first Faker machine. And now look at the new Faker machines. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
The engineers that we have in ophthalmology are geniuses. And we are just fortunate to have such great engineering.
Yes, yes. I don't try the Unity now, but I'm going to try it in some weeks. I think it will be a big change or not, the Unity from Alcon.
So I've used the machine. I don't have any consulting or financial relations with Alcon with regards to this, but I found it worked really well. And I was surprised that when I did brunescent and dense white cataracts, it was half the energy I thought it would be. Wow. Like normally doing a dense case, and I would say in my mind, this is probably going to be a total energy CDE of maybe like 16, right? And I look at the machine, and it was 8.
Wow.
And I did another dense cataract. I said, okay, CDE is, my guess it's going to be like 20. No, it was 10.
Wow.
So it was about half. And then the next morning, both those eyes had clear corneas. So I was like, wow, I was expecting a little corneal edema, so much phaco energy, but they had clear corneas. So I was like, wow. So I think, nice. I mean, the engineers are doing amazing things. Also things like temperature sensors. You won't be able to do a phaco wound burn, hopefully.
Yeah.
So the technology will get better and better, but I think it applies kind of throughout all of ophthalmology. So yeah, don't be afraid of the future. Embrace the future. Don't be afraid of the robot. The robot will make you a better version of you. But again,
I agree with you.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know what I'm going to do here? I'm going to put down below. We've been talking for almost an hour. Can you believe it? I'm going to put down below in the description here. I'll put links to your meeting. I'll put links to your YouTube channel, your social media. We'll put all the links down here. So please check it out. And I encourage you, if you want to go to a really fun meeting and have a nice trip to Cordoba, you definitely check out the meeting. The registration is free. You heard it here. It won't cost you anything. Just come, have a great time, learn a lot. And maybe have a nice Argentinian steak.
Yeah. Look what I have in my hand.
You're making me laugh. Yeah, that's the Cadillac Coach coffee mug. I love it.
No wine inside. It's not no wine.
No wine, just
only
coffee.
Only coffee.
Only coffee, even better. Again, thank you, my friend. I wish you the most success in your meeting. It's a fantastic meeting. I will certainly come back for your 10th year anniversary in 2027, you let me know. But even for next year, for the 9th anniversary in 2026, please encourage our listeners, check out the meeting. I promise you're going to love it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Uday, for your invitation. Yeah, it's a great honor for me to be here. I think you are the best instructor and the best professor for young ophthalmologists. It was a great meeting with you here. People was very happy to have you here, and I, as I told you, you are like a rock star in ophthalmology, and I was very happy to have you here, and you are welcome for 2027.
Oh, thank you, my friend. My pleasure. I want to remind our listeners and viewers, remember, we've got a new Cataract Coach podcast every single Sunday on Apple, Amazon, Spotify, Google, anywhere you find a podcast, you find the Cataract Coach podcast. Plus, of course, there's a new Cataract Coach video every single day. And now also check out our sister channel, Retina Rounds. We've got Retina Rounds surgical videos as well as Retina Rounds podcast. So until next time, I'll catch you later.